This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The pharmaceutical industry is a multi-billion dollar business tasked with developing, producing, and marketing drugs to improve patient health. But financial ties between drug companies and physicians has been under growing scrutiny. Close ties between doctors and drug companies often include gifting, big trips, and other expensive perks. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, recent data shows 94% of physicians report some type of relationship with the pharmaceutical industry. Well, what about your doctor? A public database by ProPublica called Dollars for Docs allows patients to search the dollar amount made by their physician by name, state, or clinic. And to tell us more about that, Charles Ornstein joins us. He's a senior reporter for ProPublica covering healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry. Welcome to The Source, Charles.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me.
So I looked up San Antonio. It was really quick. It's really handy, this site you have. And I saw that there were 2,212 hits for doctors that we have in our city who are receiving some sort of financial relationship with pharmaceutical industry, all sorts of dollar amounts. The top one getting, $50,000, $60,000 seems about medium. But the top one was $836,000 that one doctor was getting from the pharmaceutical companies. That's a lot of money.
Well, for decades, pharmaceutical companies have worked with doctors on research and promotion of their drugs. What's new in the past few years is that the details of those payments is now becoming public. So this is not new as far as the interactions, but now that people can look it up, they're able to look up their own physicians and see if there are relationships between the drug companies that make the drugs they're taking and the doctors who are prescribing them.
So it seems the big question is there a conflict of interest? Is the medical care that we receive from our doctors, is it somehow being influenced, tainted by these by this lucrative relationship that many doctors have with drug companies?
Well, I think the pharmaceutical industry's perspective is that doctors are vital to help them research new generations of products, and they also are really important in helping to spread the word about their drugs and how they use drugs and educating their peers. So that's the industry's perspective. But a lot of research has shown that money from the pharmaceutical industry does affect doctors' impressions about particular drugs, and it may even affect their prescribing of those drugs. And where you're particularly concerned, for example, is if a doctor is more prone to prescribe, say, a brand name product when a very similar or equally effective generic medication is available. And so if you have to pick up that additional cost for a little extra value, that's where you as a consumer may be concerned. Another area you may be concerned is if your doctor is one of the first to prescribe a new medication. There's a number of new medications in recent decades that have been shown to have problems once they've gotten on the market. And certainly if you have an acute condition, if you have cancer, or if you have something that is life-threatening, you may be willing to take additional risk to try new medications. But if you have a chronic condition or a condition for which your existing medication is working, then you may want to think twice about jumping on right away before additional safety information is available from widespread use of the drug.
So the pharmaceutical companies say that doctors play an important role in doing research in the drugs. But we're finding out, though, also that is it really research or is it marketing that they're being paid to do? Because how do we distinguish one from the other?
Well, they're releasing information about both. So it's important to indicate that right now in our Dollars for Docs database, people can access it, by the way, by going to just propublica.org/docdollars. So if you go to that website, you can type in your doctor's name, and you will see payments that are reported by 15 companies that have publicly reported this information. Beginning this fall, sort of a not often talked about provision of the Affordable Care Act called the Sunshine Act will mandate that every drug and medical device company make available this information. So we are right at the, at the point at which there will be a flood of additional information for every company. So now there's only 15, but you'll see dozens, perhaps hundreds, this fall. They're releasing information about research payments. They're releasing information about promotional speeches, about consulting payments. They're even releasing information about meals and gifts that they're providing. So there's a lot of information out there, And I think the thing that we're sort of telling folks is there's not a right or wrong answer here. So if you trust your doctor and don't have questions about what your doctor is prescribing, and in fact don't care to know this, you don't have to look at this. If you do want to look at this, though, you're entitled to ask your doctor if you have a question about their financial relationship. If you have, you know, a doubt about whether a medication is right for you, there's questions that we recommend that you ask your doctor. It can, if you want to, you know, give you an opportunity for additional conversation in the doctor's office.
So there was a big case, this GlaxoSmithKline case, where they had a $3 billion penalty from the federal government for they were doing like off-labeling, illegal marketing. And that's kind of where we first they lifted the veil and we saw how much doctors were being paid. Even this Dr. Drew Pinsky, this well-known celebrity doctor, how he was getting paid by them to be a to promote one of their drugs. And then he's not disclosing that as he goes forward and talks about his medical expertise on the air as a celebrity and also as an actual practicing doctor. So is that what we're...
I think you're right to bring up, David, that you know, these companies that are disclosing are not doing it because of it's just their goodwill to do this voluntarily. Most of them have settled whistleblower lawsuits against them, accusing them of improper marketing and paying, in some cases, kickbacks to doctors to promote and prescribe their drugs. Some of these companies have paid billions of dollars to settle those cases. Others have paid hundreds of millions or tens of millions of dollars. And so then the requirement came that they disclose this information. So there has been sort of historical practice that has shown that companies have not always engaged in upfront and straightforward and unbiased marketing of their products. And that's what I think everybody needs to keep an eye out for.
Now, the American Medical Association, they've got a code of ethics. Why isn't that enough to keep this under control?
Well, I think that clearly everybody has their own different codes. So the pharmaceutical industry has a code of ethics. The American Medical Association has a code of ethics. Different medical schools have their own codes of ethics. And yet, you still find that there are doctors in the database who are, you know, accepting, you know, for example, we had a doctor that we found last year who was accepting $1 million for speaking engagements in less than a three-year period. So these are voluntary codes of ethics, and doctors who don't work at the institutions that prohibit some of these practices can continue doing them. That's why you as a consumer, now we're taking this issue out of the academic sphere and out of the hypothetical and saying, look, consumer, if you're interested in this, you have the ability to go to this website, look up your own doctor, and this is now becoming a personal issue for you.
And we've seen how, when you don't have someone looking over your shoulder, how a soft code of ethics can become pretty quickly. We're going to continue our conversation. We're talking about dollars for docs with ProPublica, about doctors getting payments from pharmaceutical companies, and is it going to influence the care they give you? We invite you to call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A little provision in the Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, is the Physician Payment Sunshine Act. And it requires, it soon will require, because it comes online in September, all pharmaceutical and medical device companies to publicly disclose the payments that they're making to doctors. Now, the ProPublica online, ProPublica.org, has been tracking publicly reported payments by drug companies since 2010, and as part of its Dollars for Docs project. It's fascinating. They got a great app. You can go in there, take a look at it, dial up your own doctor, find out how much money they have been getting. And so we're talking with Charles Orstein. He is a senior reporter for ProPublica. He's covering healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry. We invite your phone calls and your questions and comments, especially if you're a doctor, want to know how this is going to influence you. If you feel like you've been influenced, or if you get a lot of money and say, but it's not going to influence your care, please give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org or go to our show page on our website at tpr.org and comment right there. So the big question really is this going to influence healthcare? And will we see a change at all when this law is now fully implemented?
Well, I think that's the huge question, and that's a question that we had too, because it's one thing to say that your doctor has a financial relationship with a pharmaceutical company, but the question that you want to know more than that is this affecting the way my doctor prescribes drugs? We were able to persuade the federal Medicare program to provide us information on the drugs prescribed in Medicare's drug benefit program, which pays for one out of every four drugs that are dispensed in this country. And what we found is that for some of the most highly marketed drugs, that among the top prescribers were many folks who were paid to speak and deliver promotional talks on behalf of the drug. So we did find that those folks were, you know, well represented on the list of top prescribers.
So what are doctors doing to get all of this great money? What do they have to do?
Well, when they're delivering promotional talks on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry, often they have to use the slides that the company creates. And the reason that the company mandates that is they've been, you know, burned as a result of this, these lawsuits for promoting drugs for unauthorized uses. So they create these what's called slide decks, and to ensure that they comply with federal rules, and they have to use that content and deliver a talk on behalf of a drug.
And they have to give a talk, and it may be like a luncheon or something that might be in Hawaii.
Well, I think
at a golf resort.
The days in which folks are traveled to Caribbean destinations or Hawaii for delivering promotional talks, those are pretty much gone away. The pharmaceutical industry took a lot of heat in the 90s for this and put in place some strict policies on this. But doctors are traveling all throughout the country, and they often go to a place where there's a dinner gathering, sometimes at a nice restaurant, and then they talk about these drugs. But remember, companies are only doing this to promote drugs that they still have patent protection for. And so when a drug becomes available as a generic, companies typically aren't out there promoting this information. And so they're promoting the drugs that they still can profit from.
So is that something we should be looking for in the future as this law is implemented, a reduction in the cost for prescription care?
I don't think that there's a connection between the amount of money that the companies spend on some of this promotional activity and the amount that they're charging for drugs. At least I haven't seen it yet. I think that what you're going to see, though, what I'm curious to learn is whether or not doctors, as this information becomes public, pare back their relationships with the companies. What we've seen in our own data is that between 2011 and 2012, as this information becomes public, that the companies have really pared back on the amount of money they've spent on speaking. Some companies have cut back by 50% or more the amount of money that they spend on speaking. So it will be interesting to see what happens when all the companies are disclosing it in a uniform way.
Well, Kelly called in. She didn't want to go on the air, but she left this question. She asked, is the database just for MDs? What about physician assistants?
So the Physician Payment Sunshine Act only covers doctors, and the extent to which a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant receives money from a pharmaceutical company, that information will not have to be disclosed under the Sunshine Act. So one question that some of the watchers of the act have is whether or not companies will turn to other types of health providers instead of doctors because they won't have to disclose that.
It's interesting. I heard that on medical students, first day of medical school, they're already being approached by pharmaceutical companies, courted.
Well, I think that there's some pushback on behalf of medical students in this respect. I think that there's the American Medical Students Association is a lot more skeptical of these arrangements than the American Medical Association, and they have been pushing medical schools to sort of pare this back to, and there's a group called No Free Lunches, where they don't want pharmaceutical companies to bring lunches to campus because they don't want that to be the basis for their education.
So have we seen any tainting, any evidence that this has resulted in bad health care, the system as it has been operating? Obviously now we see the system sort of reforming, but in its heyday.
So I think that there's, you know, a key question when doctors prescribe drugs, right? The first is it the most economical drug for you? And in that case, it may not create a bad outcome, but if you have to pay more as your out-of-pocket percentage goes up when you go into the pharmacy and you have to pay more for a drug that you really didn't need, you know, is that a good outcome? So one is really cost. Two is drugs that are inappropriate or have undue risks, and are you being given those because they are sort of warned against for the your condition that you have, or they are inappropriate if, say, you're a senior, there are certain drugs that are that seniors are recommended not to take. So there's particular conditions and drugs where if something is prescribed and it's not the right thing for you, actually can harm you. And we're obviously more concerned about that, regardless of whether there's the financial relationship. I think we've been looking out for whether or not patients are being given drugs that can actually put them in harm's way or for things for which there's just simply no medical evidence. We identified a doctor in Oklahoma, for example, that was prescribing a whole lot of medications that were intended for patients who have Alzheimer's disease, and he was giving them to young adults who had developmental issues like ADHD and autism, and there's really been no scientific peer-reviewed literature that suggests that that's an appropriate use of those medications.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Number is 614-8980, and Mark has called in. Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yesterday, I was able to visit the doctor for the first time in a long time, thanks to ACA. When I took my script to HEB, I found out that without the insurance, I would have paid $267. But for some reason, Humana would not allow me to buy my meds there, limiting me to Walmart or CVS. And at CVS, I would have paid $1,169.99.
Okay, Mark, thank you for your call, and I'm glad you're back on healthcare. So I know you cover the healthcare industry. Charles, anything you can add to that?
Well, I think that this points to the fact that different pharmacies charge different amounts for different drugs, and also that there is a, you know, limits that insurers put in terms of which pharmacies you can do business with. So what your experience points to is that these can have real effects in terms of when you're going to fill your prescription. And you have to sort of look out for this as you're choosing insurance plans and make choices to the best of your ability based on what, you know, how much your drugs are going to cost as well as other health services you know you're going to need.
So we've seen laws produced before, and they have these expectations, and then we have unintended consequences. Companies figure out workarounds. Any signs that the pharmaceutical companies have figured out a way to get around this new law?
Well, I think it's still too early to say. The pharmaceutical industry has said it's committed to releasing this information in a way that's useful for consumers. And one of the reasons that they're interested in doing that is that a number of states were passing their own laws. And, you know, the thing that any industry likes less than a federal law is 50 state laws. So to the extent that they were faced with having to do this in different ways for every state, I think if they see the federal law as an opportunity to have a uniform standard. And just as no company wants to give up this information sort of on account of its own competitive information, I think some of them are also welcoming getting a look into what their competitors are doing so that they can make different business decisions accordingly. So they certainly lose some privacy, but they also gain a lot of competitive intelligence.
But this was about marketing. This was mainly about moving their product, getting it into the hands of doctors who can recommend it, and then hopefully the rest of the other doctors will also start using those drugs as well. So if they can't use this method to do that, will they turn to more TV ads?
Well, certainly if you've turned on the TV lately, you know that that there's, you know, a lot of ads for pharmaceuticals. But, you know, besides from the fact that we see the money going down, there's a couple things that have changed in the industry itself. One is that a lot of the blockbuster drugs that they relied on for their profits and their revenues are beginning to go off patent. So the biggest drug was Lipitor, which went off patent in 2011. That was a huge moneymaker. And others are similarly going off patent. What's replacing them are not these big blockbusters, but instead are what's called specialty drugs. And specialty drugs are drugs that treat certain conditions that are more rare. And so the level that you need to promote those widely to general physicians, you don't have to do that quite as much. Finally, I think that you see some element of using other types of technologies to do training of doctors, like web conferences and stuff that just simply aren't quite as expensive to do. So those various things are all factors in this, and it's hard to parse out, you know, one from another.
So, of course, we were originally worried about bad actors and doing and the negative aspect of this. The other question is that having a chilling effect because doctors do need to share information and do it openly and not be afraid of being stigmatized, and they should be compensated for their work.
Absolutely, and I think that the extent to which doctors are working with the pharmaceutical industry, you know, on research to create new drugs, I haven't heard anybody criticizing those efforts or seeking to curtail them. I think that the real focus, both among academic medical centers, among bioethicists, is on the area of marketing. And should a doctor, sort of in addition to their clinical responsibilities, be serving as a salesperson for the pharmaceutical industry? And there's a number of leaders within the medical community who think that's not the role of doctors. So I don't think of this. I think that that is that's where this is playing out.
And what about exposure to malpractice? Say a doctor prescribes a drug to somebody, that drug goes bad. We find out that doctor was getting some compensation from the drug company. Does that make them vulnerable to malpractice?
Well, I've certainly heard this being raised in a malpractice suit before, but I haven't heard this being sort of a predominant driver in terms of whether they accept, speaking funds or consulting from a company or not.
So it doesn't automatically taint them. It doesn't automatically raise the suspicion that doctors are doing something bad if they are doing this. But transparency and awareness, patient awareness, patients always have the right to ask their doctors if they're receiving some compensation from drug companies.
Absolutely.
All right. I definitely want to thank you, Charles Orstein. He is a senior reporter for ProPublica, talking about Dollars for Docs, their database on ProPublica.org. Fascinating, worth checking out. Thanks for joining us, Charles.
Thank you.
And in coming up after the NPR news break, we're going to be joined by the Express News reporter about Sarah Brassey and what happened to her and the investigation with Child Protective Services. Stay tuned.